Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're so blessed that you've decided to join us in Philippians 3. And last time we discussed the three stages of perfection. And we also talked about pressing on to the goal. And, you know, by faith, we have already received God's full acceptance. So there's no looking back. Or some song is like no turning back, mm-hmm. I think it was. And so Adriana and Catherine and Becca are here with us again, with Miss Tara and myself. So take it over. Yay!
Well, I really love this is from the Life Application Bible, the three stages of perfection. And so the verse that in Philippians 3:12, let's just read it here. It says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ first possessed for me. No, dear brothers, he says, and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let us all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Let's just stay there. Okay, so he's talking about this process, this journey of Christ's work in us. And we pointed out last week that the Life Application says there's the perfect relationship, the perfect progress, and then there's complete perfection. The perfect relationship's unchangeable because it's our justification. It's the moment we believe that Jesus died for us, that he has justified us. He's made us whole and holy. The perfect progress is the actual process of sanctification, and that's what he's talking about in verse 12. It's changeable, though. This one here is not set. We are the ones, and how we allow him to be evident in us and how we are allowing the power of his resurrection to be made known in us determines what that looks like. And so the question we need to ask is, he says, let those who are mature, let this be. And I'm like, okay, so what is maturity in Christ? You guys just talk. When you think of somebody who's mature, what do you think of when you think of someone who is mature in Christ?
Well, it's not age.
True.
Yeah.
Someone who's committed themselves to following Christ. Mm-hmm. And I guess that they do fight the good fight and they keep going even when they mess up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always think about somebody that you've watched, and Tara's a perfect example, and Tanya. I was thinking of Tanya, too, the other day. That when I first moved to Omaha, these two beautiful ladies, you know, taught Bible studies, and Tanya was just starting. And I've just watched both of you just grow so much. And I think if you see growth, that's mm-hmm. maturity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing what you can see happen in somebody in 14 years.
It is, isn't it?
It's good.
I think, too, just like the people who are able to actually love people, you know, that's just a skill that's lacking in people who are not spiritually mature and, like, truly care about somebody, not just, like, selfishly, but actually love them.
Mm. Yeah, they don't expect anything back.
Yeah,
they just love
exactly.
them.
Yeah. Yeah. You're good at that, Dee.
I don't know about that.
I always feel loved by you.
Yes, you are.
I'm good at hiding the selfish motivations.
You're so funny. You're so funny. Anything else? You had something, Becca?
I never think of maturity as perfection. I think all of the people that I view in my life as spiritually mature are so real with their struggles.
Yeah.
But I think the true mark of spiritual maturity is addressing, this is what I struggle with, but I'm not going to stay here. Mm-hmm. What are the steps that I need to take? Who are the people that I need to confide in to move past that? I think that's a true sense of spiritual maturity. It's just mm-hmm. recognizing that sin. And
yeah, because we all struggle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so right. There's no day that doesn't go by sometimes. Mm.
Yeah.
Did you have anything, Catherine? You shared?
Oh, yes.
I hit a tree.
That's okay.
Okay, so when I was thinking on this, I'm like, well, okay, based on what he has said, it's like it definitely requires trust on my part. That if I'm not trusting Jesus, well, there you go. I'm not, because this one is changeable. The actual process of holiness, the sanctification process, he is always at work doing his part, but I have to be willing mm-hmm. to allow that to take place. And so it has to do with me being willing to trust him. And it's funny because I think I have prayed more in the last, since August, I trust you on so many levels than I have. And I don't know. It's just like it's like another level of him teaching me that. And then I also have to be willing to learn more about Jesus. I cannot allow my life to stay based on what I know from yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have to be real in who I am today. And going back to what Becca said, mm-hmm. how is he teaching me today? And mm-hmm. so understanding that testimony is not the moment just when I had him deliver me and make me justified. It is, how is he delivering me today? How is he making me holy today? How am I allowing that to happen? And so obviously that's going to happen because, three, I'm drawing closer to him. I'm allowing him to be at work in me. And so what does that look like for me today? And that comes down to obedience in the moment. And in the Wishing Forward series, if you remember, we found that when Jesus was baptized, the phrase that I used is that because of the way that he, John the Baptist and Jesus talked, Jesus told him, and when he said, I don't want to baptize you, he says, you must in order to fulfill righteousness now. That an act of obedience in the moment, it mm-hmm. fulfills righteousness in that mm-hmm. moment. And that actually is what brings holiness to the circumstance. That's what brings sanctification. And those little itty-bitty choices of steps that we make. And so as we're processing and making choices, those choices reveal the heart towards obedience or the heart towards disobedience. And when I have my trust on and when I'm learning more about Jesus, that's going to protect me. Last time when Becca read Colossians 2, 8 through 10, we saw that they're deceivers. And we see in Scripture there's going to be an increase in false mm-hmm. truth. And so we have to be where we protect ourselves. And so I was having this dialogue recently. You'll see, and I'm out there culturally, the TV is adding more and more a lot of things that will cause somebody to believe that it's true when it's not. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of shows will end with people in the bar having their drink, and that's how they are happy and they have closure, is they go to have a drink. And so that makes that as a truth that this is something you should be doing, because that's what's going to give closure when everybody sits around and talks and has a drink. And it's the conversation of the people, it's not the drink, but because of the setting and the atmosphere, it actually conveys that this is what actually causes mm-hmm. it, and it's not. And so discerning what truth is, culturally, if you pay attention, you're going to find that more and more you're going to see females kissing females in TV shows. Mm-hmm. And so that is a false truth mm-hmm. of what we should be, one man, one woman. And so it causes people to start to question what is truth. And so we have to be discerning enough to understand, what does the Word of God say? What does it say about Jesus? What does it say about God? What does it say about our relationships with people? And using that to help us as he does that process of sanctification. But it can't happen if I'm not trusting, if I'm not in the Word, if I'm not praying and seeking to grow, and then being obedient in what I know. Mm-hmm. And sadly, we often will go to, like, my mind can even do this. I'm preparing for the radio. God, teach me something new. Or, oh, God, we're going to this conference. Help me to teach something new. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I'm going to this conference. I need to receive something new. And honestly and truly, it's not that we need something new. It's we need obedience in what we know. Mm-hmm. And if we were actually obedient in what we know, we would have a radically changed world.
We would.
I mean, my life would be different. Everyone's life would be different if we were actually just obedient in what we know. Obedience in the little things, we will find that that will protect us. And so it's the little small acts of obedience that make a difference in guarding us. Because we have to remember that the perfect progress of sanctification, of being made holy, it is changeable. And though we are not working to receive what we have received. We do have a responsibility because of what we've received mm-hmm. to move towards the goal of what he's given us, and mm-hmm. that's what he's wanting them to understand. All right, let's go to the third one. He says that we are completely, Living Bible Translation says the third one is the complete perfection, and this is the glorification that takes place. And once again, it is unchangeable. And I was looking at this, you guys, and I was so blessed by God. So he has us here in this perfect relationship and perfect completion. And he tells us, I will be faithful to complete what I have begun. Mm-hmm. And so we have this holy Oreo of God. This is so silly, but that's what I was thinking. That little white stuff in the middle, that's us in the process of being made holy. And he's got us like sandwiched in into his little crunchy goodness of I've perfected you and I'm going to glorify you. You know, the stuff in the middle?
Yep. Good stuff.
It's going to happen. It's all going to be. And so I was just like blessed by that. And so Becca earlier had said that the key is the eternal focus. The eternal focus. And so if we do what Becca was saying, and that if we in our minds get our thoughts stayed upon that which is eternal, mm-hmm. It changes how we act in the temporal. And Dr. Holmes, the interim president at Grace University, he says, eternal mindset over temporary comfort. He's always saying that. You got to be willing to get rid of your temporary comfort in order to have the eternal mindset. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a student in my office quoting him having said that in class or in a one-on-one or something, and how it impacted them, just having our minds constantly on the eternal.
That's good. I like that.
It is good, isn't it? We love our president. He's awesome. Okay, so let's go to verse 15, and who wants to read for us verse 15 through 16, and let's look at this one. We're going to see some of the summing up of the things that he said, so let's read those again.
I can do it.
Okay, Sandy.
Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained.
He gives us what spiritual maturity looks like right here. We had talked about that a little bit a while ago. So based on what he says right here, look at it. Let all those who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. So what is he giving us as the two things that... I did four things. You give me what you feel, and then we'll look at what I came up with, and let's just see what God teaches us.
Well, I like that he's going to reveal to you when you're either down the wrong path or the wrong mindset, and he does.
That's awesome. Yeah, he does. He will reveal to us. Was it the verse that says that he will make a way of escape?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But also, like, he says agree on such things, and the such things, or have such a... view of things is referring to what he just wrote in, like, previously.
Mm-hmm.
So I think humility is one of them, is mm-hmm. being humble, and also, like Becca said, willing to, hey, this is where I'm struggling, but, like, you're not gonna stay there. You're gonna, what are the steps that are gonna, you know, get you to the next level.
I love that. So even though I'm struggling, I still agree with you, Jesus. This is where I need to be, and I'm willing to do what needs to happen to get there.
Yep,
that's so good. Right? Mm-hmm. That's so good. Okay. Anybody else? I wrote that we have to desire, and this supports what Becca was saying earlier, to the desire to go the distance with Christ when there are things in the way. And I chose the word endurance as the thing that I need to be willing to have. I have got to be a person who's willing to endure in order to do what Christ is doing as he's perfecting me. And then choosing to run with Jesus would be the agreement, what Catherine was just talking about, when there are other opportunities to run with someone or something that may actually hinder my walk with Christ. And so I have to choose to have the movement of Christ. And so I need to be looking to see, is Christ moving in this? And if he's moving in it, then I have to run with him. And so I need to be willing to go the distance, but I need to make sure that the distance I'm going is with Jesus and not necessarily my idea, someone else's idea. I need to make sure it's Jesus's, and so that I'm enduring the movement for him.
So we need discernment.
Yeah, it's wise to pray for that often.
It is.
Then I notice that he prays for the people. He says, praying for God to make it clear to others when they are not clear and do not understand. And so the desire of praying vision for other people. And I don't remember who I was listening to. I can't remember it. I listened to too many sermons. And so a sermon I was listening to this week, the pastor was saying, we're so bent on where when we pray, oh God, deliver my grandchild from drugs. Oh God, deliver my daughter from promiscuity. Oh God, deliver my son from this power attitude. I mean, you know, he's just listing off different things. And he said, you know, those are good prayers. Mm-hmm. But a really great prayer.
Your will be done.
I pray that you know the depth, the height, the width, the length, and the love of Christ, that they may have this in them, that they may know the inheritance they have with all the saints. Because if they know Jesus, it's going to come that those things will be shed without us having to press them.
Right.
And so being willing to have that vision, praying that vision for them. And so though we may see in someone an area that is a struggle, begging God for that vision for them to know Jesus on all levels so they have the fullness of God evident them, the riches of Christ where all the treasures of heaven are hidden, that is the greater prayer because it's the eternal prayer, not the temporal prayer.
And he answers those.
And we need to get our prayers on. We have 1 minute. What happened? Oh, we are going so fast. So then I need to do the last one quickly so that we can do that and start the next. So look for those that are running with Jesus. That means the next thing, I have to look. I have to be seeing the people that have Jesus in them. And the only way I'm going to know if they have Jesus in them is if I know Jesus and I have Jesus in me. And so, but not just look for them. It says join them. Gather, and so I'm like, this is the gathering of the body. So we need to endure, move towards Jesus, have vision for others to be in Jesus, and then gather the body of Christ in Jesus. And as we do those, then that shows the mark of spiritual maturity in us. And so we want this in us, and that's what Paul is begging God for them. This is what he's challenging the people of Philippi. Do these things. You need to endure for Jesus, you need to move toward Jesus, you need to pray others in Jesus, and then you need to gather them in Jesus so that this is when spiritual maturity will happen. We're so glad you're listening. God bless.